Today, we cut straight to the chase, literally cutting it like we had claws, because this is about when Wolverine had a gun. Do you remember Wolverine with a gun? Yes, Marvel's mightiest, most feared, most deadly, most popular mutant was packing heat. What was it, more sizzle than steak? We carve it up together today on an all-new episode of Robservations. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Robservations. I am your host, Rob Liefeld. These are my Robservations, and we here at Robservations dwell primarily on all things comic books and superheroes, with all things comic books, superheroes across every platform. I come from the world of comic books. This is what I've been doing for my vocation, for my living, since I was 18 years old. This is all I've ever known as my job. I write, I draw, I produce. Yes, sometimes I've even printed the damn comic books off the press. It is my passion, it is my love, and it is so great to see how comic books and superheroes have expanded into giant blockbuster films and streaming shows, and huge talent has launched from portraying themselves as these superheroes. The most successful roles of some of these incredible talents' careers are as superheroes. Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, Robert Downey Jr., no denying, Iron Man. It has been the centerpiece of his acting career, now opening the doors for him to work with incredible talents like Christopher Nolan and make stuff like Oppenheimer. Christian Bale as Batman dominated the early 2000s and gave him star power and staying power that perhaps he would have never, ever, experienced. It is these roles that have carried so many talents to giant worldwide acclaim, success. And again, knowing the comic books the way that I do, having pulled them off the spinner rack since I was 7 years old, and I thought I was late to the dance. And now I look back and Marvel's 80 years old. And so I encountered Marvel, the Marvel comics before, because when they get that 80, they're actually counting their previous title of their company, Timely, into the equation. But I thought I was late to the dance. And then I look back, and man, was I early. I was there when the new X-Men formed, when Wolverine and Colossus and the new core joined the team. But I was only, I wasn't even two decades late to Spider-Man. I was like 13 years into the Spider-Man existence, into the Fantastic Four existence. And looking back now, as we celebrate, 50 years of Wolverine, and I pulled his first appearance off the stands. And when he was introduced as a runt, as a small, battler, as a guy who was maybe 5'6", 5'7", maybe even smaller. He was small, like the Wolverine that he took his name from, like the beast that is small and ferocious and won't back down and is extremely, extremely dangerous. And it is to Hugh Jackman's credit, again, going back to the talent that portrayed him, that he made us forget all of that and accept a super tall, 6'3", actor who does not resemble what they called runt. Even his teammates called him a runt. He envied, in the comic books, Wolverine envied Scott Summers' Cyclops, who was tall, dark, and handsome. And suddenly our Wolverine, as portrayed by Hugh Jackman, was tall, dark, and handsome, but he won us over. It is one of my favorite portrayals of any of the superhero characters, any of the comic book characters. I think Hugh Jackman is the best. Wolverine has always been my favorite character since that moment, since that time I encountered him. I was obsessed with him and the three blades that came out of each hand. But the fact that Hugh Jackman was able to charm us, win us over, it's going to be impossible to replace Hugh Jackman. And I'm so excited he's coming back in Deadpool Wolverine this summer. Again, some of the biggest films on tap to come are certainly still in the superhero realm, even though we backed off. As a culture, we have experienced these studios now backtracking because they gave us too much, and maybe too much that was compromised, too much that wasn't great, and it watered down the product. the product being these previously impenetrable blockbuster superhero films. And in the last summer, we've seen that a movie about a toy doll, brilliantly executed by Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig, can take everyone's breath away and dominate the box office and do $1 billion and become Warner Brothers' biggest movie. And of course, Christopher Nolan can turn his eyes towards a historical figure, adapt a book, Oppenheimer, you know, critical acclaim, all the Oscars. And then, of course, Dune 2 is currently just blowing everybody away. A seemingly unadaptable science fiction saga, even though it was adapted twice before, once by David Leitch in 1984. And then again, of course, there was a sci-fi miniseries of the same, but none have met with the same acclaim, given the brilliance of and the visionary talent of Denis Villeneuve. I had to go to Josh Brolin himself to figure out how to say that name without butchering it. He helped me because he's done three movies with Denis, actually four if you count Sicario 2. So the movie theaters and pop culture are filling the gap that superheroes had previously dominated, but they're coming back. And Deadpool Wolverine puts the mutants squarely back in the headlines, but so too does X-Men 97, which has seemingly kicked off a whole new fever, giving people their 90s X-Men fix again. Because most people view the 90s X-Men as their favorite, their most their most favored time on that book, and with good reason. All of those talents, Jim Lee, Will Sportaccio, Mark Silvestri, I was in the mix doing X-Men and X-Men related books. We were fueled, inspired by the brilliant 1970s run of John Byrne, Chris Claremont, The Savage Land, Magneto, The Hellfire Club, Proteus, The Imperial Guard, Death of Phoenix, Days of Future Past. I mean, just epic after epic after epic. It was like out of time and space, this brilliant run dropped in our laps. It seemed to be so ahead of its time, still is, as a matter of fact. But everybody who was doing the 90s X-Men was fueled, inspired. We were all kids when we were buying it. And I know for a fact, as we sat around, we talked about it. We would talk about our favorite moments from that esteemed Claremont Byrne run. And then as we got to be professionals, we had to pour that into the X office. And here we are now, you know, back with the X-Men, back on Disney Plus, X-Men 97. The fans are crazy about it. They're so excited. The mutants are squarely back, you know, on target, in view. They are grabbing the attention because the X-Men just haven't been elevated in the past at least 5 years in a way that they used to dominate all the time. Today's subject actually deals with Wolverine and the X-Men, and you know the title to today's show. And previously, I was going to start a new series, but you know what? I've been wanting to do this for years, and at least a solid year and a half, I have been looking to put this run and give it the spotlight it deserves because it's so wild, and it actually complements a previous podcast just from this year, this 2024, and kind of bookends a podcast we did about Batman and Captain America having guns. Welcome to Wolverine Got a Gun. Wolverine Got a Gun, baby. And it is really interesting to put this run under the microscope. And one of Marvel's mightiest, easily the most powerful of all the X-Men characters, and one of Marvel's mightiest characters, most popular characters, neck and neck up until this point with Spider-Man. And at this point in Marvel's publishing history, and it's 2014, so it's 10 years ago that they gave Wolverine a gun. But the examination of all of this is how fast it seems that they moved off of this. It feels as if they came up with this Wolverine Got a Gun and put the images out there, put the news break, had all the press react to it, get shocked, get awed, because that's what it was meant to shock and awe you, that Wolverine, with the you know, adding to the fact that he has three claws on each hand, is now holding a pistol. The promotional piece drawn by a very young Ryan Stegman. Ryan Stegman is the artist for the opening arc of this. He's early in his career, kind of just, for me, gets a free pass because he's kind of finding and feeling his way. Got a great assignment. They clearly wanted to reward what they saw in him as they were developing him and gave him what for anyone would have been a big breakthrough. Prior to this, the only thing you need to know prior to this is that Wolverine had fallen victim to a virus that took away his healing power. He no longer had the ability to regenerate, so he could be harmed. And as Marvel uses it time and again in the description and in the hyperbole and in the actual inside the comic kind of describing where we're at, it cites he is killable now. Wolverine is killable now. I'll read the actual text from what they printed in that issue, in this launch issue. But the previous Wolverine series, now Marvel and DC had both previously during this time taken to relaunching with much greater frequency than they had at any time in my experience as both a fan as a professional. It was kind of the point where they were relaunching a book every 2 to 3 years. And then suddenly, with the dawn of the DC New 52 in 2011, and Marvel was like, okay, game on. You're going to relaunch a bunch of number ones? We'll relaunch a bunch of number ones. And you got new Wolverines, new Spider-Mans, new Hulks, new Avengers, new Fantastic Four. And it was like once a year, once a year, once a year. You'd get 12, boom, start the clock over, maybe in the fall, maybe in the spring, depending on where the run started and ended to begin with. But Wolverine had just closed a previous Marvel Now. They called these launches Marvel Now. The previous chapter, also written by the same author, a Paul Cornell, who I had guessed on, had done a Captain Britain book, if memory serves, that had been well received, and so Marvel rewarded him with Wolverine, which he had done previously with as major a talent as Alan Davis. And in that run is where Wolverine was felled with the virus, lost his mutant power to heal and regenerate, and was on the receiving end of a brutal beatdown, a near-death beatdown by his arch nemesis, longtime rival, Sabretooth. Well, Wolverine reemerges, goes back to the school where he has become a headmaster. Again, kind of a big swallow for longtime Wolverine fans who loved him as a rebel, as someone who was kind of a reject, always an outcast. And suddenly he's a headmaster. Sorry, in the 2000s, I tried to say it with a straight face. He's a headmaster at the school. He's an instructor. Okay, I think it was called Wolverine the X-Men, or maybe it was just the X-Men book, and he was a headmaster in it. A lot of books coming out during this time. Well, for the second installment of Wolverine Marvel Now, they pick up and they want to tell you that he's different. Now, what are the go-to moves in comic books to grab sales and to garner headlines and to get interest? A restarting of a number one. But they were doing it with such frequency that you needed more than that. Number ones, even today, you get a new number one all the time. New number one, new number one. Used to be you jumped on with a great creative team. Used to be you were asked, give this creative team a chance, let them soar. This is how Frank Miller did it, Walt Simonson did it, Jim Lee did it, I did it, Todd McFarlane did it. But nowadays it's more clear the decks, do a number one. Well, they were relaunching these books with such frequency that just the number one alone wasn't enough to get it done. So what's the second go-to move in the arsenal when trying to get someone's attention in comic books? It's a costume change. It had been 2 decades since Spider-Man had worn anything other than his brilliant Steve Ditko Spider-Man design. And then he got the black costume. The black costume, the symbiote costume with the big white spider, and it was all black. And that garnered all sorts of attention and all sorts of headlines and got its own action figure. It was actually implemented so that Mattel could give you 2 action figures in the Secret Wars line. But it blew up. It became a seminal moment, cover, and period in Spider-Man's life that he had this new costume. New costumes work. And there was a period, and we're going to get to that when I get back to my 8 events from the 80s that shaped and informed the 2000s. That's coming down the road, and the deeper dive into derivatives, because Marvel really favored them, really favored that period. I mean, I would just shy of getting drunk on derivatives. But you can only change costume and change identities and do derivatives so much, and this is kind of a tip of the hat of what's to come, but you can only do so many Spider-Men, and you can get drunk in the fever and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm getting all these Spider-Men, and there's hundreds of them, and there's Spider-Men, and then you kind of, the fever drops, abates, and you go, you know, I kind of just like my one Spider-Man. I'm just going to kind of focus on the Spider-Man I like the most, which is the original. So costume changes can absolutely give you a kick as well. And this Wolverine with a gun trades on the fact that he has a new costume, an all-new costume that he had never before worn. It's like a onesie. It's a one-piece new design. It has an X emblem worked into the design. He has armor on his plated armor on his sleeves, which is there to protect him, given that he can't get sliced or diced without now being very mortally wounded or deeply harmed, because the regeneration and the mutant healing aspects of his powers have been lost to this virus that has made him normal. And there is a concern, and they show it in the course of this story, which is told in multiple flashbacks, a little told out of context, nonlinear, in this Wolverine gets a gun storyline, that he is in harm's way. His claws are back to the bone claws. And so the answer to all this lies within this new design, which is in fact a form of armor. And he gets gauntlets that pop out the adamantium claws. And I'm just going to cut to the chase. This is delivered in the flashback. You realize that he was given this new armor. It was at very least delivered by Spider-Man, because it is hanging from copious amounts of cobwebs, following probably the strongest installment in here, which really highlights what would eventually be the definitive strengths of Ryan Stegman's illustration, is when he is in the Spider-Verse. There is a Spider-Man guest star, a lot of pages with Spider-Man, a heavy guest star beyond cameo appearance, that he has a long talk with Wolverine during this Wolverine with a gun period in issue 2. Now I know I had first seen Ryan's work on the Spider-Man book, the whatever they called the clone book. He had done that prior to coming to this assignment. I call him Spider-Man with the hoodie. And so when he's portraying Spider-Man, because Ryan and his kind of peer group, they grew up loving Todd's Spider-Man. So many times, whether it's Spider-Man or Venom, you see them doing an emulation of that, in the same way that me and my peer group emulate the Art Adams, Michael Golden DNA that we grew up on, that we dig. And or the John Byrne Wolverine. I mean, again, there are things that each generation carries from the other. And so the Spider-Man chapter of this is done really well. There's a McFarlane-esque appeal to how Ryan Stegman portrays Spider-Man. And then when Spider-Man has this talk with Wolverine about his mortality and his quest to avenge his beatdown with Sabretooth. These are the things that are covered in the context of this. He then seems to be, I'm not sure if they want to go all the way out and say he invented it. Maybe he teamed with Tony Stark, but Wolverine is gifted this new armor, and the armor has gauntlets that have the adamantium claws. So with a suit of armor, and it harkens back to some great 70s stories where Ben Grimm could no longer transform into the Thing. He went all the way back to his human form, but he still had a desire to be the Thing. It's so great. It's such a great period. I loved it as a kid. Reed Richards fashioned a functioning kind of cybernetic suit that Ben could step into, an exoskeleton, if you were, that looked exactly like the Thing. So Ben Grimm could still activate and be the Thing with the Fantastic Four, even though he was not able to actually become the stoned brute, and he actually hated being the Thing. So this was now the best of both worlds. I can be Ben Grimm. I can be handsome. I can be myself. I can have, I can be who I've always wanted to be, to the love of my life, Alicia. But now when I want to jump into action, I can be the Thing. Well, in this case, they basically defaulted, did the same thing. Now Wolverine's mask was the same, but this new armor also gave him the ability to have these claws, but it protected him as much as possible from the healing factor. So what's up with the gun? What's up with Wolverine got a gun? Well, part of the promotion of this, again, when I first saw it, I thought it was Ed McGuinness. The early stage, Ryan Stegman is about 6 years into his career at this point, from what I went back and researched. About 2008, he breaks in, so 2014 is when he's doing this. He's still kind of rounding into form, you know, trying on different styles. And I would say that this has a very Ed McGuinness overture. When I remember when it first came out in 2014, not very familiar with his work, thought it had an Ed McGuinness, McFarlane kind of overtones to the art, which is fine. Again, very early in his career, not here to really talk about the art. It's more about the concept and the story and what they were putting forth. But the certainly when the ad, the cover at Wolverine number one, which was also the poster and the advertisement and really what all the marketing was hinged on, is from the thighs up, you see the new costume, you see the new Wolverine, same face mask. Previously in the previous Wolverine series with Alan Davis, he was wearing the classic yellow and blue costume. Now, as he reemerges, he's in a much heavier, lot more black in the costume with some yellow, but the face is still, the face mask is still the same. But again, a different design, a onesie, if you would, a full body suit, and then this armor on the gold-plated armor on armored stripes or pieces of armor on the arms, and then the gauntlets that kind of that are on his wrist that would pop the claws out. But in this shot, his left arm hand is turned very carefully, so you see all three of the claws coming out, appearing to be the classic adamantium claws, and he has a pistol. He has a firearm. Now there is. That's what's meant to set off all the red lights and create the hoopla, the hyperbole, and get the shock and awe going. Previously on the podcast, Batman Has a Gun and Cap 2, or is it Captain America Has a Gun, Batman 2, whichever that podcast was earlier this year that I laid down, I revisited the earlier incarnations of both Batman and Captain America, who early on in their very earliest incarnations had sidearms. They had pistols as part of their costuming. They didn't always pull them out and use them. I think Cap in the World War II era, it's documented that he pulled it out and used it maybe six times or two times on a cover, four times on the interior, and kind of the same thing trended with Batman. But he had it. It was a sidearm. It was a holster. Well, in the continuation of Batman Year One, which happened without Frank Miller and without David Mazzucchelli, but DC having owned Batman and wanted to continue the success of that storyline, got Mike W. Barr and two artists, Alan Davis and Todd McFarlane, to do Batman Year Two. So still early in Batman's career, and it was all sold and marketed on the fact, and on many of the covers, Batman is brandishing the pistol. He has a chest holster, which has the pistol, and he is holding it in his arm, or sometimes he's holding it close to his face with the barrel smoking. It was meant to go, what? Because the guns, heroes with guns were not frowned upon, but seen as sinister. Were they even heroes? And again, that's what they're trying to trade on. The Punisher was born in, I think, 1973, 1972, when Punisher first appears in Amazing Spider-Man. He is born from the Death Wish and Dirty Harry kind of iconography of Clint Eastwood and Charles Bronson. Their big screen portrayals of these vigilante, either cops who struggle with their vigilante impulses or just straight out vigilantes. And the idea that an ex-Vietnam vet would be picking off criminals with murdering them, assassinating them with his own rifles and artillery and armaments, he was seen as a vigilante and someone who needed to be brought in to justice. When I watch my 1975, 1976 favorite cop show of all time, SWAT, oh my gosh, that theme song alone, that theme song alone, do not get me started. I may actually end up singing it on this podcast. That would be tragic. But anyway, SWAT, the original SWAT, they would take down vigilantes, people from the rooftop taking out criminals or other people taking crime into their. There's an entire episode about a guy who listens and follows the police radio and gets there before they can, follows the police band radio and actually kills the people that SWAT are trying to capture and imprison and just stop the crime. But this guy is judge, jury, and executioner. And Punisher became so popular that they had to kind of round him out and give him a little more, heart and soul. And what they really did was make it his kind of deranged battle against organized crime. And Punisher works best and is most acceptable when you throw him into a supermax, a prison, which they've done multiple times, where he then takes out his vengeance, trapped a criminal himself in with much more dangerous, heinous criminals. Because Punisher, by his origin story, is a victim and is carrying around deep sorrow, which motivates him to destroy the criminal element and the evil that he sees in the world. But that kind of gun violence was controversial even back then. And now in the world that we live in now, with the first person shooter controversy, the school shooter tragedies, gun violence, it has never been more in the news and has never been more just a focus of society and of the media. That's the best way to put it. But it has always, a hero with a gun has always been semi-sinister, questioned. Why do they need a gun? That guns are violent. They're trying to, you know, as if a hammer that can split your skull or a cybernetic suit of armor that can blast repulsor rays through your body or Hawkeye who can fill you with arrows. Again, it's just guns have always had this connotation. So DC knew what they were doing, giving guns back to Batman in Batman Year 2. They knew, ooh, look at it. Batman has a gun. It's polarizing. He's got a pistol. Okay. Similarly, and I covered this in the podcast, the previous one, when they needed a new Captain America following the death of Captain America after he was assassinated in the culmination of events that start in Civil War. Cap is assassinated and Bucky takes on the new role of Captain America. And when this new costume is revealed with the new kind of shiny, more looked a little more like armor, but he too had a sidearm and a pistol. And again, it was meant to shock and awe you. Marvel got the news out there immediately. The Marvel representatives are talking to the New York Times, the LA Times, the greater press and the greater media, and they're framing it. Well, why wouldn't Cap have a gun? He's a soldier. Soldiers carry guns. And he's like a police officer. Lawmen carry guns. So it was, but it was, they immediately had their well-rehearsed position because Captain America had a gun. And of course, earlier on, Batman had a gun. And whenever you put a gun in the traditional superhero or the superhero who has never used it before, it is meant to become the focus. Wolverine with a gun, hand turned, gun being held in the same hand, closed fist with the claws popping out, elicited a lot of, wait, what? Wolverine has a gun. And the idea was, well, now that he's killable, as Marvel says, now that he is mortal and can be wounded, he needs a more aggressive weapon. Except, let me tell you something, that never happens. People like myself and my retail buddies, because it was like, wow, they're giving Wolverine a gun with this new Marvel now. They got the chatter, they got the attention, but it appears, I would love to know what happened because they backtracked. It other than the first issue, and then very later on in his patch identity, Wolverine has the pistol again. But other than the first issue, which does deliver, he does use the pistol. The idea that he was going to be fighting with claws and pistols. Now, what had come out in 2002 was a movie called Equilibrium. And I think to many of us who watch anime and read manga and had seen something like Equilibrium with its gun kata. Yes, that's a word, that's a phrase, gun kata, gun, and then K-A-T-A. It's battling with guns. And so you're having fights with pistols. Christian Bale goes at it in gun kata, in Equilibrium, several times utilizing the art of gun kata, which is this very stylized way of fighting with pistols. So you're looking at Wolverine with a gun and claws and going, are we going to get Wolverine gun kata? Because I did. Hand up, me, right here. I did. I thought we were going to get some gun kata. Slice, shoot. Guys, in my head, I'm seeing this right now. Now, here's the deal. While this design of his costume, I gotta add this. While this new onesie, full piece bodysuit that Wolverine was wearing was not by any shake of the ladder, it was not my favorite. I'd buy that action figure. If that action figure was out today, I'd be like, oh yeah, especially if he had the pistol in the hand. But I am telling you, I don't know what happened, or I don't know if it was their intent to tease us. But the story is Wolverine has been put undercover in a crime, underground crime. He becomes an outlaw, leading other outlaws, working on behalf of, and I kid you not, in the interest of, wait for it, and this is my maybe biggest problem with the whole story, a man named Mr. Offer, who even jokes about, I should do something about my name. He's like, I'll make you an offer I can't refuse. My name's Mr. Offer. And they're like, what are you going to do, Mr. Offer? Off him. And he repeatedly throughout refers to, it's really difficult having this name, but Mr. Offer is the one who made the offer to Wolverine to come aboard. Now, S.H.I.E.L.D. wants him inside this organization to weed them out. And it turns out, as the storyline gets deeper, obtain the MacGuffin that Sabretooth also wants, because Sabretooth repeatedly talks about wanting to become a god, ascend to godhood, and he's going to do it with this device that is going to enable him to bend reality to his will. That is the 12-issue arc. I don't know, for whatever reason, the gun aspect of Wolverine was just a tease. They had the posters. They had the new costume. They've got his hand very clearly turning, tightly clenching the pistol, of which he uses at the end of the first issue. And then really, second, third issue, again, we are not given what we think we're going to be given, in the same way that at least Cap and Batman are using their guns in their previous, 80, late 80s. Batman gets the gun back in Batman Year 2, mid-2000s. Captain America gets his gun, brandishes it, shoots. Other than a one-time shooting early on, there is a lot of miles. There is a lot of pages put between the next time you see Wolverine use the gun. And at no point is he jumping into a room of ninjas or bad guys, and they fight ninjas and they fight bad guys, with his gun and claw combo. Because kind of is what you were intended It's what the imagination, where the imagination ran upon seeing this really cool marketing push that they gave featuring this cover to number one. And Wolverine Got a Gun was a thing. People were talking about it. What are they going to do with this? Why does this exist? Again, no healing factor, needs the new armor, gets the claws, has infiltrated this kind of underground criminal squadron to expose the greater organization. And you've got Mr. Offer, and I can't say Mr. Offer enough, because what a name. And I'll make him an offer, Mr. Offer. Why don't you make him an offer, Mr.? Okay. Yeah. Trust me. I'm not sure what happened here. Many of the people who are editing and constructing these books are no longer at Marvel. They are gone. But the promise of the gun kata is never, ever realized. It doesn't happen. So more than the Batman with a gun, and more than the Captain America with a gun, it's a big tease. Here's another tidbit. These are not available on the Marvel Kindle, what we used to call as Marvel Comixology. You cannot get these. You cannot download these issues. I wanted to pay and download them and not put the effort into looking for them, but I went to my storage unit. I went back through my boxes. I got my issues. And here I am sharing the story with you. I had to go to the comic store and obtain the issues beyond. I think I stopped with issue 3. I never even got to issue 4. Stegman leaves with issue 4, and then the issues can the rest of the 12 issues play out with different artists coming on board to wrap up this story, make it this giant Sabretooth wants to bend reality. But what they really lean into, and what they've already decided, because that advertising hits in the middle here, they're going to kill Wolverine. Death of Wolverine with Charles Soule and Steve McNiven is coming, and they literally spend the last 4 issues of this Wolverine Marvel Now pivoting towards letting you know that you are watching Wolverine's last missions. Forget Wolverine with a gun. Wolverine's last missions are happening. And Steve McNiven does 4 variant covers, each of it, the best covers you're ever going to get, with a fist and claws, just fists. One fist, Wolverine's fist, and the claws are basically shattering as the countdown. He's got, the third claw is shattering and you've got 2 left. Then the second claw shatters, the next, then the one claw shatters. And what do you think you get in the last one? You get a skeletal fist. So it's not even a gloved hand anymore. And it's the countdown. And it says, 4 months to go till death of Wolverine, 3 months to go, 2 months to go. They pivoted inside of Wolverine with a gun. Completely shifted course. I just want to know what happened. Was it always just supposed to be a tease? Here's the one. I got to tell you, the story is problematic. Not only with the Mr. Mr. Offer stuff, but I'm Mr. Offer. He's kind of a kingpin type, but he's called Mr. Offer. And Wolverine is there to kind of expose and do something harrowing. And yes, he absolutely violently shoots someone at the conclusion of this first chapter, holding the gun, brandishing the gun. But earlier on, Black Widow decides, hey man, you may need to take up firearms, so I want to teach you how to shoot a gun. And you're sitting there going, pardon me, Wolverine is way over 100 years old by this time. We've all kind of been, it was alluded to in the Byrne Claremont era. Then Byrne gets the, Claremont writes the Wolverine era, and you see Wolverine is alive in the late Western days. Okay, so we are absolutely looking at easily 100-year lifespan, and you're going to tell me that at no point this guy picked up a musket, picked up a gun in World War II, picked up a pistol. Black Widow is with him at a firing range, and Wolverine is learning to shoot a gun. To me, I was like, what are we reading? Like, some of my issues with this Wolverine Now stuff is it just really seemed to take some giant directional shifts and tones with the Wolverine that I grew up knowing and loving. And this was part of it. Like Natasha giving, and I guess the big shock of it is they're doing, when she says we're going to have shooting range, you're looking at they're about to shoot Natasha. He's like, what's going on here? And she's like, that's my life model decoy, because LMDs have always been a thing in the SHIELD espionage world. And I even used Steve Rogers was revealed. His family was life model decoys in Heroes Reborn. So guilty as charged. I love the life model decoy thing, but I think the shock was supposed to be, wait, we're firing at you, Natasha? That's not me. That's my life model decoy. I got to tell you, sometimes it's just in the delivery. I don't know what happened to Paul Cornell. He absolutely kind of faded from scene after these. Literally, Charles Soule moved into the driver's position, and he and Steve McNiven, let me give you this, deliver nothing short of a masterpiece with the death of Wolverine. It is stunning to look at. It is a really good read. And Steve McNiven delivers almost a career best, exceeding the Old Man Logan storyline that he did so brilliantly with Mr. Mark Miller. But Wolverine gets a gun, seemed to be full of lots of promise, and then really delivered on none of it. The opening of each issue had a recap, and I said I would share that with you. Logan, this is and the storyline, the first four issues is called Rogue Logan. Logan, the man called Wolverine, was born with amazing abilities, razor sharp claws, superhuman senses, and a regenerative healing factor. Throughout his life, he's been many things: a savage, a soldier, a hero, and a teacher. But now he's something he's never been before: mortal. But even stripped of his healing factor, he's still the best there is at what he does, and what he does isn't very nice. And then it has different panels. After losing his healing factor, Wolverine has left the X-Men and the Jean Grey School. He is currently working with a group of criminal mercenaries under the watchful eye of the crime boss, The Offer. The Offer is a criminal on his way up and looking to take down Logan's old enemy, Sabretooth, now leader of the Hand criminal empire. But enemies aren't the only part of his former life that haunt him. Even as new relationships start to deepen, Wolverine has struggled to adapt to his new life. He has found himself going back to some advice an old friend once offered, being Spider-Man. Just don't fail. Just don't fall, even when Superior Spider-Man throws you off the building. That is the recap for issue 3. The recap for issue 4 is much the same. Wolverine had infiltrated this team working on behalf of SHIELD with this new armor that was given to him that would help him assimilate his Wolverine claws and battling ability. But he was much more susceptible and is in fact harmed even through the armor because he no longer has his healing factor. But again, he dramatically uses the gun and offs, seemingly offs someone to impress all the bad guys at the end of the first issue. But when we saw this, as I said, I keep hammering this home, the idea that he has the pistol and the claws, this is never, ever utilized, a gun-claw combo that somehow realizes the promise of the poster. So it all ends up feeling a little like a tease in that they used one very controversial aspect that Wolverine, who doesn't need, really has never needed anything other than claws, but now seemingly because he's more mortal and can be wounded, he needs a more aggressive weapon and has a pistol. But the fact that Black Widow needs to, in 2014, say, "Hey, Logan, let's teach you how to fire a firearm." And it's just wild. You're like, this guy, in my mind, this is not his first time. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are issues of the Mark Silvestri, the Larry Hama Mark Silvestri Wolverine, where he is carrying large rifles and firing them. And this is certainly not the first time we have seen him pick up a gun or a rifle. But in this instance, Black Widow feels the need that she needs to reacquaint him with shooting a firearm. It's slightly comical to me. A weird period in the Marvel history of mutants. The X-Men were in kind of a weird place. Wolverine was most certainly in a weird place as he picks up this pistol and again does virtually, I wouldn't say nothing with it, but does very very little with it. When I mentioned that Ryan Stegman leaves after the fourth chapter of this new Wolverine launch, then Gerardo Sandoval takes over on art chores, then Chris Anka, and then Pete Woods. It's a group of artists kind of finish out. But by issue 8, as I told you, they have pivoted to, we're killing Wolverine, show up for this new event. The whole gun thing didn't kind of pan out the way we thought. I checked again, the last page of issue 4 has Wolverine cocking a pistol again, and it's a flashback for when he kind of joins this underworld, underground, you know, crime organization, and he says, "Now when are we getting started?" Kind of like the gun is a symbol of, "Look, I'm a bad guy. I'm a member of your criminal organization. I'll use a gun." And again, the big firing of the pistol at the end of the first issue is really the most important time, other than him learning to use a pistol by Black Widow. I mean, I just went back through over these, and Sandoval has a very nice Joe Madureira inspired style. His saber tooth is really nice, very much on model with the very best representations of saber tooth that Joe Mad had done. I just get the feeling that somewhere in the middle of the storyline, everything got scrapped. The initial reaction was poor. By issue 8, you have Steve McNiven on covers doing this countdown with the claws shattering on the fist every single month, counting down to the death of Wolverine, which absolutely deserves to be put under the magnifying glass. But if you never realized before that there was an entire storyline promoted, advertised, marketed to give Wolverine a gun, well, there was, with a new costume. All of that was a very brief blip in time. Again, you can't even get this on the Kindle. They will like offer to send the Marvel Kindle Amazon application. You can still get so many great comic books, but these are only available in German editions. And they'll give you previews to the issues, but then not let you, at least in every device that I tried to access, it is not available. It may be on the Marvel Unlimited app. I don't have that, so I don't know that to be fact. But once again, we saw three things. New number one, which wasn't as special given the dearth of new launches that were coming out. The new costume, okay? An absolute standard in the let's get your attention of comic books, go-to move. And then the shock of this guy who has six knives is now going to be brandishing a firearm. And he does for one issue, really. Later on in the Sandoval issues, in his patch persona, he does pull the gun again. Remember, there is a MacGuffin, I think they call it the sphere, that Sabretooth wants to be able to bend reality and become a god, and that's kind of the what becomes the end game of this storyline. Whatever they do with the gun later on, I lost my interest. I wouldn't even, given these issues, I wouldn't go past the eighth issue. I just said this didn't go to where I had expected it to go. Again, given the execution of when Batman had his gun, and look, at the end of the Batman year two with the gun, he does decide, I don't want to brandish this gun. But like I said, they used it to great effect on issue two and issue three and issue four of the Wolverine with the gun storyline. He is not shown brandishing the gun. He's on a motorcycle. He's a big head growling at a big head of Spider-Man. And then there is a great, probably my favorite cover of the bunch, is him whacking a bunch of, you know, bad guys with his claws. The production values are high on this book. David Curiel is a great colorist. You know, the color values are great. Again, Stegman's early on in his career, finding out who he wants to be on a relatively high profile assignment, but it's fine. He's young. It's really, like I said, not about the art on these issues. It's about what we didn't get as opposed to what we were promised. And you're like, Liefeld, this really like hits you in the feelings. I wanted more out of it. I thought it was bold at the time. It definitely got my attention. It wasn't just me. It got the attention of many. And yet, it did not deliver the gun kata. And if you've never seen Equilibrium, it's a cool little movie that you might have missed. Released in 2002 in kind of a Big Brother style future. The kind of the cops, the enforcers are trained in this art of gun kata. And I'm telling you, man, Christian Bale, this is pre-Batman Begins either. It's the fight scenes are very well choreographed, very stylized action. Both guys with two pistols going off against each other. Really good stuff. Really solid. Highly recommend Equilibrium. Thought that's what I was getting when Wolverine was going to have a gun as he's showing gun and claws fully popped out. But that does not occur. But it exists in the fact that they got it out there, they promoted it, they marketed it, they wanted us to give this a shot. I think it was a worthy attempt, but somewhere along the line, they just completely backed off the decision. And I would love to know why there was no more, why there is so little of Wolverine with a gun in a new direction, which advertised Wolverine with a gun. I guess we'll never know. Again, I lost track of Paul Cornell. And this version of Wolverine was really lost to the sands of time. You cannot access it easily in a digital library. I don't have Marvel Unlimited, but I commonly get the stuff through the Kindle. But again, I grabbed these issues. I flipped through them. I wanted to talk about this, especially with the spotlight being so much on Wolverine again. And you may be saying, Liefeld, Wolverine with a gun is lame. I'm not saying it's not, okay? Let's come to this conclusion. I'm not saying it's not. But I feel like if you're going to go there, give it to me. Give me gun kata. Give me a version of this that I didn't get the best effort of this. That's the bottom line. I did not get the best effort of this concept that they promised me with a strong promotional piece that became the cover to number one. I did not feel as if I got the best version of this. A little bit of a tease, a lot of bit of a tease. You decide. Deserved to talk it out, because if you didn't know that Wolverine had a gun, hey, some of you don't know that Steve Rogers gave up being Captain America back in the 70s and became a character called Nomad. There are all sorts of pockets of time that you have shared with me that you are not aware of. Maybe some of you are like, what are you talking about, Liefeld? This is my favorite Wolverine storyline of all space and time. That is possible. I want to respect you and the fact that you enjoyed it. But let's just say, for the record, again, Kelly McGillis reviewing Maverick's tactical efforts. I think we've used this as an example of what not to do. Okay. We are using this as an example of what not to do. And I feel like the next time around, give me the better version of this. And you know what? I'm not going to lie to you. Doing this, I said, am I going to break out my own five pages? Am I going to draw my own version of Wolverine with a gun and kind of illustrate what I would want out of this in the first place? You never know. John Byrne set a dangerous precedent. He did 36 issues of the X-Men and he put them all online for free. Think about that for a minute. And I'm like, well, maybe I do the lost chapter of Wolverine Gunkata. Lord knows I'm going to have the time coming up here soon. And it is not unlike a pursuit that I have done in the past. So it interests me to that level. That is what I'm talking about here. I just don't believe we got the best version of it. I love Wolverine. I love dancing with all of the different iterations of Wolverine. We're going to be discussing more moments, big and small, well-meaning and maybe misguided in the months to come, because he is my favorite character and I never, ever stop loving talking about him. Long live Wolverine. R.I.P. Wolverine with a gun. No Gunkata here. Let me tell you that it is certainly possible that I am being way too hard on the Wolverine got a gun generation, the Wolverine got a gun launch segment story. I just, you know what? The reaction really reveals that I just thought, if you're going to do it, go there. Do that. Do more of it. So, hey, just great moments of time. 10 years ago, that is only 2014. But again, Wolverine and the mutants are back in the spotlight. And that was one of those head scratchers. I am still convinced, as I've already alluded to, there is a story why there wasn't more done with it. It just seemed like a giant, giant red herring otherwise. It just was certainly not fulfilled. And I guess if I'm being too hard on it, you guys will let me know. You will inform me of that fact. Thank you, as always, for listening. It is so great being able to bring this show to you and participating with you and discussing favorite characters, favorite runs, favorite creators. And at the end of each and every episode, we read the most generous reviews that you've left for us. And starting this episode, we're pushing those reviews back even further to the very end of the show. So hang on, and you will hear the reviews, which are extremely important. We love hearing them. I am so appreciative that you leave those reviews. I'm going to lean all the way into our latest review right at the close of today's show. In the meantime, lots going on. A ton is going on. And the most exciting thing is that if you would like to have your books in graded, hopefully highest grade possible, I am doing an in-house signing with CGC. I'm doing my second one ever. Last year, I did my first one. It was great. It was fantastic. We really, I think, met the concerns of many of you out there who wondered if you were going to get your books fast. You wondered, are these going to get returned to me in a timely manner? Yes. Did you get good grades? Yes. We went out of our way. The people at CGC, the staff there, are so great. And we have gone out of our way to take great care. The Deadpool Wolverine movie releases the last weekend of July. So, I mean, honestly, you're kissing August. If you get these books to us and I get to them in June, we are aiming to get them back to you in, you know, late July, right before the movie opens. So that is our intent. If you have anything that you would like signed by me, go to cgc.com, look up the Rob Liefeld signing menu, pull it down, figure out what you want to send in. Is it New Mutants 98, 87, 100, X-Force 1, 2, any of those? Youngblood, Prophet, Evangeline, G.I. Joe, Snake Eyes, Captain America, The Avengers. There is so much. Major X. I saw everything. I signed magazines. I signed posters. I signed trading cards. Get your submissions into CGC as fast as you can, and we are going to do just a great job getting those signed in the best possible condition and getting them back to you as soon as we possibly can. In the meantime, I am on social media via two major platforms, three actually, on the platform formerly known as Twitter X. I am at Robert Liefeld, RobertLiefeld, with the blue check signifying that you are talking to the verifiable. I am verified. I am real. I am the real deal. No phonies here. You're not talking to some imposters. There's always a bum peddling some phony name. I'm not the only one out there. If you are even remotely someone in the public, there's always somebody trying to dumb it down and to use a phony name. So yeah. at Robert Liefeld Blue Check Twitter. I love reading your replies, your mentions, all of the different discussions and the back and forth that we have there. I love it so much. Find me over on the platform formerly known as Twitter, X at Robert Liefeld. Over on Instagram, more of a visual diary of my life, pictures, past work, past, present, future. I give you sneak previews. It's really just a diary, a visual diary of my life, my family, my friends, the people I love hanging out with, the work I love sharing with you. Really fun. I am just at Rob Liefeld on Instagram, at Rob Liefeld. Another blue check signifies it is really me. I love, again, reading your comments, the back and forth, the DMs, the mentions. Thank you for interacting with me on both Twitter and Instagram. Instagram at Rob Liefeld, another blue check that tells you I am real. Over on Facebook, we have a kick-ass group. It is called Rob Liefeld Marvel Extreme and Beyond. It's a group. It's not a page. Submit your you know, that you want to join, and either myself or my buddy Terry Sala, S-A-L-A. Terry and I co-moderate, administrate the group. It's a great time, great vibes, good people, fun conversations. Much of what we talk about here continues there in long form. Lots of back and forth. We keep it very respectful and upbeat and good vibes all around. So we would love to see you over there. Rob Liefeld, Marvel Extreme and Beyond is our Facebook group. There are even art contests. A lot of great talent over there. Always submitting. The winner gets to pick the next subject. Terry sets it up. It's voted via polling. Again, all going on in the Rob Liefeld, Marvel Extreme and Beyond group over on Facebook. Look forward to seeing you over there. If you don't have the app, whatnot, you're going to want to get that. More and more of the work that I'm doing, I am offering directly to you. I am offering directly to you, direct to consumer. And I am thrilled that I have a brand new book called The Last Blood. 28 brand new pages, fully written, penciled, inked, and colored by some brilliant. It's fully written, penciled, inked by myself and colored by brilliant collaborators. We've had several different new editions. They all drop exclusively only on Whatnot. If you are a fan of my Image Comics era and those characters, I have returned to them to kind of write the end of their lives, the end of their demise. And I figured I'd invite you guys all along for the ride. And we have offered them directly to you only via the Whatnot platform. And that is how it's going to stay, at least for the remainder of this year. Issue 2 is coming up. It's going to be out in April. You do not want to miss out. It is a great companion piece to issue 1. I am so excited for you to all experience it. So do not miss out. Also, we have exclusive variants, exclusive covers, stuff that we do with Whatnot. This X-Men Animated, X-Men 97, number 1. I did a variant cover. I showed off the gold foil. There's 4 different versions. There's a virgin. There's a trade dress. There's a foil, gold foil, silver foil. And I am telling you right now, I have never been more deluged with messaging from people who want me to break the embargo and release the book, share the book, sign the books over. Can't do it. Will not do it until the time is given. It's going to happen in April. April's going to be a big month. You got more Last Blood. You got this cover. I kid you not, in all my time in comic books, I have never been deluged with more people who want this cover. They are going to be extremely limited. You're going to want to be on my account the days that the drop happens. There's going to be all sorts of different versions of my X-Men Animated 97 cover. Do not, under any circumstances, miss out. You don't want to miss out. You want to be a part of that. In the meantime, I sign Funko Pops, toys. There's original art. There is a full cornucopia of exclusives, variants, stuff that is only done for Whatnot. You need to follow me over on Whatnot. Get the app. Follow me when I go live. You'll be alerted. Once you follow me, you'll get alerts when my shows go live, generally on Wednesdays and Saturdays. And it is a live stream. I am on camera talking to you the entire time. Many people think it's an extension of Robservations. A whole lot of conversation goes on back and forth. It's a lot of fun. I hope that you can find us and join us over on Whatnot. Good God Almighty, I think that covered it. My last Deadpool project that I'm doing for Marvel should be out shortly. I'll let you know when that is about to be announced so that we can get you ready for it. It's going to be an exciting year. A whole lot of great projects coming your way. Very excited to again to interact with you on all these different incredible platforms. I think that the time for consumer and creator has never been better. We are just having the best interactions that I've ever had in the course of my career. So thank you very much. The reviews that you leave for us help elevate our platform, help get the word out, help people see that we exist. The people at Apple tell me the more reviews you get, the higher your platform is visible. The more prominent you are on the podcast platform. So thank you in advance for all of these great reviews that you guys continue to send in. I read them at the very end now of each and every show. Here you go. This is from Comic Book Barbarian. It's from Canada. Finally, a truly great comic book podcast. Comic Book Barbarian writes, that's his title, gives us 5 stars. And the review says, I happened upon this completely by chance, eagerly searching for a comic book podcast to listen to. Comic books have been a tremendous part of my life for over 40 years. And believe me when I say Rob knows what he's talking about. Not only has listening to this podcast reinvigorated my love of the genre, but it's gotten me to go back, reread, and rethink a lot of things and view them through an exciting new lens. Astounding job, Rob. Your energy and excitement is palpable, and I am loving every moment of Rob's observations. Thank you, Comic Book Barbarian. I am always so honored to read these, and I know that you wrote that straight from the heart. I receive it straight to the heart. It really inspires me, keeps me going, and gets me excited about future topics and just putting more energy into this podcast. Thank you, everybody who listens and who spreads the words and who plays it in your car while you're exercising, at the gym, with your friends in your comic book store, while you work. Thank you, and thank you again. At the very, very end of each and every episode, I wish you all the very best. I want your emotional, spiritual, physical, and mental well-being to be at its best, in its best possible condition. I offer you this just advice that I live my life by. Take a break. Get off the grind. Step off the treadmill. Have a great time with your family, your friends. Eat great food. And read a great comic book, go see a great movie, watch a streaming show, just relax, kick back, get to that recliner, that beanbag chair, that favorite spot that you have, that you relax, you recline. Maybe it's out by the pool, the sun is coming, spring is here, and I just want you, give yourself permission, man. You just got to get out, take a break, get off the grind of the normal day today. Hey, married, 29 years this summer, got 3 adult kids. I understand the burdens and the tasks and all of the hurdles that we face together in life. And I'm there with you. I'm fist bumping you, boom, right through this microphone. And I managed to do it once a day with a generous, one of my escapes, one of my cheats is my Reese's Big Cup. It's like I'm a spokesperson for them, but I'm not. It's just my recommendation because I love them so very much. If you're doing a regular Reese's, you know, just go to the Big Cup. Just go to the Big Cup. And someday we'll have a deep, deep discussion why the chocolate on the specialty, the Valentine's and the Easter eggs and the Christmas trees, that chocolate tastes a little different. Equally as good, but not the same. Equally as good, not the same. My taste buds absolutely are able to differentiate both the best chocolate you're going to find in a candy bar, but that's a discussion for another day. Thank you for listening. As always, hope that you are doing fantastic. Do not leave me here. Come back. Find me. I'll be waving. I'll be trying to chase down your car because we most certainly, absolutely, and inevitably are going to talk again real soon.